What's up, everybody? My name is Galen Skagits.
And my name is Devon Digital. How's it going?
And this is the Trust the Tech podcast. Today we have a special episode. This is something we're both passionate about, smartwatches. So I've been passionate about smartwatches for a while now. You guys know I love to cover smartwatches on my channel. And Delvon is actually like really getting into it right now just because of his experience with something that he premiered on his channel last week. So we're just going to start off by talking about that. So I know you are loving the TicWatch Pro 3 Ultra, man.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I got the same. That was actually like the first watch that Matvoy sent over to me as well. Shout out Matvoy, just a really good company, and they make really good products. I hope to see them return in their earbuds games. I know they made earbuds a few years back, but their smartwatches are phenomenal, especially their Pro Series watches. Something that me and Delvon both experienced. Tell me about your experience with the TicWatch.
So far, man, I've just been loving it. Now, at one point, I thought that the touch controls was kind of really fidgety and bad or whatever, but I noticed that it actually has activation area when you're swiping left and right. So I kept thinking that my watch was freezing and stuff, and I was like, yo, oh my God, like I love everything about this watch, but me not being able to touch it and navigate is really cramping the experience for me.
I want to break that down. Is that like a setting or something that was...
No, it's not a setting that I can change in here, but I just noticed that, you know, I got so used to Samsung, like you can literally swipe from like the middle of the watch straight to the side, but this one
I see what you're saying. So the swipe gesture wouldn't activate unless you were on the edge.
Yes, on the edge. Okay, and I wasn't used to it. Again, you got to remember, I'm coming from like only Apple and Samsung, right? So there's kind of like act the exact same. So this is a new experience for me. So I thought it was something wrong with the watch because it wasn't swiping, but it was just that it has to be activated from the edge, which actually makes sense. You know, it does.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it does. So quick question. What's your experience with Wear OS in general? Is this like your first like solid, like stock Wear OS watch? Or
this is actually my second because I had the Motorola 360.
Oh, the 360?
yeah. Which was a phenomenal watch and a bad watch at the same time. But no, this is not my first. But using Wear OS 3 on Samsung was pretty good. And, you know, getting this watch, it seems more stockish. It feels way more stock. For sure. Compared to what Samsung has going on, but it does have their apps up there. Mavo, they do have their apps up there, which is fine. I actually use their exercise one, which is fine for me. I think the tracking on it seems to be better than Samsung's, to be honest.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I'm testing it hardcore right now, so I'm loving the tracking a lot more and stuff like that on that one. So
That's what's up.
Yeah, so just my experience of using another watch outside of Apple and Samsung is really a big relief because those watches are really refined and really good, but I never knew there was something out there that I would like more than that until I actually tried it, you know? So I'm actually happy that I did make the jump and tried something new because you never know. I mean, all you hear about is Apple Watch, the best watch in the world, Apple Watch, the best watch in the world.
I get that a lot, you know,
is it really for everybody though? You know, like it can be the best if you say it is, but that don't mean it's the best for everybody. So yeah, I would pick this over an Apple Watch and I would pick this over a Galaxy Watch. And I come, you know, I'm a user of both, you know, so especially because the battery life.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I'm not new to Wear OS at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. I didn't like start with Wear OS like when it first started, like with those Moto 360 watches and like the Fossils and all that. The first Wear OS watch that I got was the Fossil Sport, which came out like right after the Gen 5, I think. It was like a cheaper version of the Fossil Gen 5. That was like the first Wear OS watch that I got. Battery was terrible on it. Well, actually, I lied. I had the Matvoy TicWatch E. That was the first one I had. Gotcha. Like the OG Matvoy TicWatch E, which was like a really good bang for your buck. Both of the battery on both of those watches like actually sucked. But yeah, that's my first experience with Wear OS. But I ended up getting like the Fossil 3 GPS. Loved it a lot. I actually had an issue with the fitness tracker on that. Like, it just like wouldn't detect my risk at all. I found out it was like it had trouble reading darker skin tones. And that was like the original Fossil I mean, not Fossil, the Mavoy TicWatch Pro 3, but the 3 Ultra did a lot better. I do agree that fitness tracking is really good.
It is.
Personally, I think the Galaxy Watch is, like, more accurate from my use, but that's subjective. Just depends on what you're actually using it for.
Yeah. See, the only problem I really have with the Galaxy Watch is that, like, just say, for instance, if I walk from my, I'll say from my studio to my kitchen, right? The Galaxy Watch wouldn't really pick up those steps, like, right away. Like, it's like the Galaxy Watch wants me, they want real strong movements before they detect you actually walking. And that's the problem where it lies with me. Now, with Mavo, literally, or even my Apple Watch, I can walk from here to there, and it would count the little, I don't know, 30 or 40 steps that I did take. But the Galaxy Watch wouldn't. And I don't really like the way the Galaxy Watch count the resting calories, because it's not really, it's just really counting it by my weight and not really counting it by
my heart rate
and stuff like that. So I just, that's the things that I don't like about it. But not saying that it's inaccurate, because it could still be accurate, you know, but I haven't compared it to any, you know, high end equipment personally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a great watch. I'm really glad they sent it over to you. It was a really good experience that I had with the TicWatch Pro 3 Ultra. So you do prefer it over your Galaxy Watch?
As of right now, for sure. I think this might be the watch I hold on to, at least until the Pixel Watch come out, and I'll see, you know, what Google's up to. But I don't know. 100%. This might be my watch.
100%. So something we haven't touched on the TicWatch Pro 3 Ultra yet is the battery. How is that for you?
So first day out the box, charged it up fully and been using it for, I made all the way to the fourth day with 11%.
Oh, wow. Battery,
literally for, and that's with never taking it off in the shower, sleep tracking, you know, all of that good stuff, taking some phone calls. 30-minute workouts each day, everything, and it still lasted. And then somebody else who also has a watch, it was like, hey, man, have you been scheduling, essential mode? And I was like, nah, I don't know what that is. He was like, well, they got essential mode where it just, you know, at a certain time, it will only keep the essential stuff that you need on and save even more battery. And I was like, whoa. So now I recharged it, and I'm testing it now, and essential mode will kick in at 11 o'clock at night now. And then it would turn off. Okay. I got it to turn off.
That's
around. What's up.
Yeah, that's going to save you even more battery. Yeah. Just to explain what essential mode is, I believe that's when. So the Mavoy has like multiple screens. It has like that top LCD screen, and then it has like your normal AMOLED screen under that. So the top screen is like a really low powered screen. Looks like one of those like old Casio watches or whatever. And it just saves a ton of battery life because that screen just doesn't require a lot of energy. So that's the screen that turns on during essential mode, right?
Yep. And you just have that screen on, and it will still light up if you look at your watch and everything like that. But it still does health tracking. It still counts your steps. It still check your heart rate, everything else. Which is phenomenal. I was like, wow, it still does all the important stuff without shutting it off, you know, and if you cap it on essential mode, their claims is 70 something days or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Yeah, from 100, I think.
Yeah,
so, I think you're right on that. And that technology is just like absolutely like revolutionary, though. It's kind of crazy that no one's done anything like it in the smartwatch space.
I agree.
Yeah, it's just a really dope technology, and I think that's what like makes their battery life so good. You don't always have to use the always-on display, because that LCD display does basically what a always-on display would do. So,
yep, I don't even use always-on display.
There's me no, neither. There's I no did point not to turn on it on.
Not on this watch, at least.
Yeah, I didn't either. I actually don't use it on any of my smartwatches. I just use to rate the race to wake or whatever, and.
Gotcha.
Just go about my day. So the Pixel Watch, that I know that's something we're both excited about, because Google looks to be like finally trying to create an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Like they've done a lot of experimental stuff back in the day with Chromebooks and Pixel phones and Nexus tablets, but now it really looks like they're just putting their foot down and trying to create an ecosystem outside of Apple and Samsung. And yeah, the Pixel Watch just looks like it's going to be a good first step for a wearable with Google anyway, especially after they acquire Fitbit.
Yeah. Definitely excited about that watch. Having this watch and then probably getting the Google Pixel and it doesn't last like, 2 days or 3 days, it's going to be very disappointing. But of course, I would love to, keep using that watch as my watch because I am using, Pixel Buds and the Pixel phone. And soon when the Pixel tablet come out, just to kind of fulfill the whole ecosystem. So I'm hoping that it will at least give me 2 to 3 days and I'll probably be happy. Obviously with them, my Void watch, I believe I could push out way more than 4 days, obviously, especially with the schedule essential mode. So I'm hoping that Google does a really good job as far as the battery go. And I really hope that they focus a lot on the fitness. I feel like the AI stuff is easy for them. I feel like, no matter what, they're going to nail that. It's not a concern.
It's going to be like a device that's easy to use.
Yeah, I know for sure that that's not a concern. It more so is just the battery life and maybe fitness, making sure they get the fitness part right. And that's about it. I mean, other than that, I don't think they can really mess up the watch. I mean, if they come out the gate and be like, hey, man, our watch give 5-6 days. I mean, it's going to blow everybody's mind, And you already know that it's probably going to be one of the best watches on the market as far as fluidity and AI, when it comes to that, so it will rival, the watch that everybody claims as the best watch out there,
Yeah, so. I agree 100%. In terms of like features and software, I think it's definitely going to be up there. My concern is the battery life right off the bat, especially because it'll be using like a Samsung processor in it. I think they're going Exynos with it from what they put in the leaks anyway. But battery life is important to a lot of people on wearables now. It's just getting that way. A lot of people are actually like not getting Apple Watches because they only last like a day to a day and a half.
I've seen that.
I'm just really curious to see what the battery life on the Pixel Watch will be like. It's really not a lot that we can like estimate just because we know it's gonna be what Google wants it to be. I feel like it's gonna have like a lot of like really cool like you said AI features and just like everyday features that people are gonna use. I'm just curious to see what those features are.
Same here
when Google does that,
and that's why my expectations are pretty high on that end. But on the battery, it's a toss in the air right now, so I don't really know what's going to happen with that. I just hope that it's if it's 2 days, I'm pretty sure everybody would be happy with that. If it, because you can't get mad at it, right? Because Apple Watch is only like a day, or for some a day, and then for some a day and a half. And you can't get mad if Google comes out the gate with like 2 days, even though I heard
that. You really can't.
Yeah, and the Galaxy Watch, I heard it get about 4 days now. So, that's
pretty good. The new Galaxy Watch, the 5 Pro, I have not yet ordered it because I really want the gray. I just don't like black watches. I like being a little different.
I got you.
Yeah, the gray is still out of stock, so I may just buy it off of eBay or something from someone that does that. But I do plan on getting it and comparing it to the Watch 4 Classic and everything. But speaking of the Watch 4 Classic, battery life on that for me has gotten like worse than what it was. I don't know if like the battery's just deteriorating or what, but it was like really interesting to like have that watch because it went from literally like a day and a half, and then it got a few updates and it got to 2 days, then it got a few more updates. Like they're updating that watch like crazy. Like it's at least 10 updates on that watch. But from the first update to like the last good update, I was getting like 3 days, and then now I can barely get two. So that's just like my bad experience with the Galaxy Watch 4 Classic, and that's honestly why I don't wear it anymore. Just because battery life is really important to me. I like sleeping in my watches to do the sleep tracking.
Me too.
So battery life is just incredibly important to me personally.
My experience has been a little bit of the opposite. I've been getting 2 days. Sometimes I can push to like a third day, maybe. It really depends, but it's been normal every day. It was 2 days for sure. That's also including with the sleep tracking and everything else, my workouts and everything. But let me just try to give everybody understanding of how I actually use a watch, because I can say this, and we say this, and everybody uses a watch different.
We do.
Yeah. If I'm in the kitchen and my phone is in the room and somebody called me, I will answer it on the watch, and then I'll kind of walk into the room and grab
and connect
my phone. Yeah,
right.
Or grab my buds and connect to that or something like that. And when it comes to like messaging, I normally will grab my phone when I know I got a message that come in. I grab my phone and send off the message on my phone instead of the watch half the time. But if I really can't get to it, then I send it. So messaging and calls is very minimal on my watch. And then I mostly literally use it for checking the time and pretty much health tracking. That is like the breadcrumb of everything that I do on my watch. So I don't really spend a lot of time on the watch. And I do use Always Display. I keep it on all day long until I get in the house for the rest of the day. When I'm in the house and my day is over, or anytime I step in the house, I turn it off. When I'm out and about, I turn it on. And that's pretty much my usage of any smartwatch. So with that minimal usage, I can get more time out of the watch than most people can, because some people do way more with their watch.
Yeah. My usage is actually really similar. Like, I do not use my watch to talk on the phone. I just feel that's weird. So I'm the type of person that like always has my phone on me or close to me. So, but I use it mainly for work, honestly, because, you know, I still work remote and everything. I still work from home. So just like getting those notifications if I'm going downstairs to cook something while I'm working, I get an email from my boss. Someone wants to meet with me. I'll get that notification on my watch.
Gotcha.
While my phone is in my pocket or my phone is at my desk or something like that. That's primarily like what I use a smartwatch for, which is how I'm going to lead into the next topic, is how much do we actually need in a smartwatch? Because I don't know any apps that I use regularly on my smartwatch. Like, app support is like a huge deal for a lot of people. But for me personally, I do not like I download apps to like play with them, but I find myself not using them. Like, I probably like touch my watch like 20 times a day, and it's never more than 10 seconds.
Yeah. I'm going to sit here and say, like, I know like the argument that they always give, like Apple Watch has more apps and stuff like that. But that's not a really good argument
of all, it's not a good argument because the Wear OS Play Store has just as much as the Apple store does.
It does. I mean, the fact that I actually seen somebody play Call of Duty on a, you know, Android watch and you cannot do that on an Apple Watch is insanely crazy that I've seen that, you know, and I've seen actual games on a Android watch is insane. But even though with that being said, you know, I personally do not download any extra apps that doesn't come with the watch already, because I just kind of use the watches kind of like out of the box. Now, with the Galaxy Watch, I did have to download. I didn't have to worry about Spotify, it was built in, but I had to download the Android messaging app. That's about it. So I could not use Samsung messaging app. And that's probably like the biggest download that I've done. And as far as the Apple Watch, I use it. Everything that's already pre-installed is what I use. And I don't even use all of that stuff. Like, if I can like wipe half of that stuff off, I probably have like 5 or 6 apps on my watches, literally. So
did you download Google Assistant when it came out?
I did install Google Assistant on the Galaxy Watch immediately, because, you know, that was cool factor I wanted to be like, hey, oh, let me turn my Google Assistant off.
The mic is muted.
Ooh, I should have never did that in the stream. But Google, y'all already know how Google is. If you say Google, she's gonna go off, so I had to do that. So with that being said, I immediately downloaded her and, you know, and tried it out, and I was like, okay, I can do this. And, you know, when I'm walking in the house or when I'm in the car, I can just say it to, you know, I can say it to my phone though, but it's just so much cooler saying it to the watch now, you know, especially if you get the phone on you. So yeah, I did. And it's been a okay experience on it. I think the experience is better on the Marvel watch, mobile
100%.
Watch, because I can actually say the hot keyword and it actually triggers, but on the Samsung watch, it doesn't.
So I actually had a problem with how Samsung handled the whole Google Assistant theme. I feel like it shouldn't be a separate app. First of all, it should be built into the OS if they're claiming it to be Wear OS, you know what I mean? Because every other Wear OS watch, the Fossil, the MobVoi and everything else that basically runs like the stockish Wear OS outside of Samsung, they all have Google Assistant built in right out of the box, and it's like a card. You literally swipe over, and it's to the left. You just press the button. On a Samsung watch, you have to either create like a hotkey, like map one of your buttons to open Google Assistant, or you have to go through all of your apps and then press the Google Assistant button and then trigger it from there, which is just like a few extra steps that I feel should be unnecessary on a watch that they claim to run Google's software.
Agreed. And that's what I didn't like about it at all. Like, having the way I have to trigger it, and you know, it was just whatever. But you know, I did remap it, and I did press and hold the button to do it, just to try it out. So, and it works. I'm not complaining. It works. But when I got this watch, it was a whole different experience. I was like, what? All I got to do is say it or slide over. Like, it's two ways to activate it. You can just say it or slide over, and that's how it should have been on Samsung's watch, especially given that they got this whole exclusive right now with Wear OS 3. Like, give us a better experience with it. Like, if you're going to hold this exclusive right now. So
which do you prefer? Do you prefer Samsung's Watch UI, or do you prefer like the stockish Google Wear OS
UI? I'm really falling in love with stock. I don't know how, but right now I've been falling in love with stock. So right now, stock. I'll have to say that, man.
I agree on that. I prefer stock as well, mainly because I don't like how the notifications are handled on the Samsung.
Yeah.
You got to swipe all the way to the left. You can't just, like, I just prefer my notifications vertically because that's how I look at it on my phone.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you just pull down and you see everything. Well, Samsung, you just got to like twist and swipe until...
I agree.
And it's like one individual notification for each for each screen. So
each one. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I definitely don't like the way it is. I think that stock Android handles it so much better. And I actually like that experience. That's why I say it's kind of hard. Like, I was going to pre-order the Galaxy Watch because, I heard the good things about the battery life and stuff. But then I was like, it ain't like I'm liking the experience of this mobile. I mean, this Tick Watch right now.
Yep.
And I don't think anything else will convince me right now at the market. Right now, only watch I'm willing to try behind this is the Pixel Watch.
After that,
you know, after that, I will try any other Wear OS watch, and it has to be one that I know that's going to get like Wear OS 3 before I even try it. You know, because you know I know the Tick Watch is going to get it as soon as this contract is up with Samsung, and it's probably going to be up around the time the Pixel Watch come out in the first place. So
right. Because the older, like the Fossils and the Tick Watch, they still don't have it yet.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's about that time where Tick Watch is probably going to release a new watch anyway, so.
Yeah, they probably will. Because, I mean, you know, I got this watch and I just realized that it's like a year late, old or whatever. And I'm not even mad that I got it at the time that I got it. I'm just glad that I was able to experience something different because, you know.
Yeah, right.
We tend to get in our brains that, you know, this is the best because it's the best. Yeah, but we never know what's really best for us until we try something else. And I can tell you right now, my experience with this watch or the Galaxy Watch, I mean, well, the Apple Watch and the Galaxy Watch it has nothing compared to what I'm having on this watch right here. This is so much better than both of those watches.
Yeah,
to me,
that's, you know, that's honestly great to hear. And I am about to send you a lot of links to different watches and things that I think you should try. Just like going to the next subject, I definitely want to talk about fitness trackers. So I get a lot of heat on Twitter because I will post something about like my Amazfit watch, calling it a smartwatch or a Fitbit.
Yeah.
Calling it a smartwatch, and people, at least four comments every time, that's not a smartwatch, it's a fitness tracker. And what do you think is the difference between a smartwatch and a fitness tracker? I've asked a ton of people.
I'm with you. First of all, I'm on your side, right? Okay, I'm going to say it off the jump. Because a fitness tracker may, you know, specialize in fitness a lot more than a smartwatch, right? It might have, like, you know, more features of it or better tracking, blah, blah, blah. But if it still handles phone calls, notifications, and simple things that we do on our watches now, it's the same thing. It's the same experience. Right. It's not a different experience besides that you bought it to favor towards fitness more. And it's going to make sure that it does that part well. Other than that, if you're receiving your phone calls, your notifications, you're replying and everything like that, that's what people do on their watches 90% of the time anyways, and checking the time. How is it any different? To me, they're the same. It's just that, you know, one is just favored towards more so fitness, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of 50-50 with it right now, because there are like some things that a smartwatch can do that what people call a fitness tracker can't. So like my Amazfit, you know, I love that thing. Like, I post it all the time on Twitter. I love Amazfit. I love what they do. I really hope to partner with them one day. I've been blowing up them on Twitter.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then mentions and all that. But literally the only thing that an Amazfit can't do that like a major smartwatch like the Apple Watch or the Galaxy Watch or the Mod Boy can't do is reply to notifications. And it's like not even that bad. Like, how many people will type out like a whole message like on their watch? How many people do that?
Not many. It's normally like a quick short reply,
You can set up, and that's the point I was getting at. You can even set up quick replies.
Yes.
On Amazfit and Fitbit and most of these other things that people consider fitness trackers. Parentheses.
Yeah. And see, and that's what I was getting at. So if you end up getting a smartwatch or a fitness tracker that can do that stuff, then it's no different than a smartwatch. But I get it if you end up buying like a fitness tracker and it's just like 100% fitness, you know. But there's so many hybrid fitness trackers out here that do like both. And that's the thing, you know. So I haven't tried any myself personally, but I've seen videos of them and everything. But I'm more open to the fitness tracking than I am smartwatches at this point, because I'm getting older and I think my health is more important. So I think I'm going to focus on getting watches that cater towards my health more.
And I understand that.
You know, I'm not going to let somebody convince me that like the Apple Watch is like the best watch because it's out here saving lives or whatever like that. We don't even know these articles are real. So
yeah,
I see it so much, but you know.
So yeah, I definitely think it's something you should like get into, because it's so many that are overlooked. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing about like these so-called fitness trackers, I call them smartwatches anyway, my favorite thing about them is the battery life runs circles around even the Mob Boy. Like my Amazfit lasts 10 days at least.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was going to get me one because of that. I'm like, I just needed to track my fitness and last, and that's it. And now granted, I do want it to be able to answer a phone call or reply to messages. So if I was looking for a fitness tracker, I would make sure that it has those two things at least. Everything else under the sun, I don't really care. Controlling my music, I mean, they do that too, because automatically.
Well, yeah, they do that too, know? Because it's like,
so software built it's in. Like a win-win for me, and I get the awesome battery life and get what's important to me, because literally the only thing I ever do on my watches is reply to messages and check the time and probably even control my music at max. I mean, I don't know what people doing on these smartwatches that they feel like they, you know, need this crazy good watch. I don't know. So,
and just like you said earlier, I definitely think that's the route you should go, just like based on my experience, because you said earlier in this podcast that you do not really download apps, and that's like the major difference between like these fitness trackers that people call them and smartwatches is the app support. That's the major difference right there.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm like I say, at this point, I am fully open to trying anything new other than a Galaxy Watch and Apple Watch right now.
Oh, that's, you know, because, that's cool then.
Yeah, my whole mindset is totally different now than it was, because, you know, like I say, you continue to experience the same thing over and over, and then you have other people saying that this is the best, and then you're saying it's the best now. Now you're just joining the crowd of saying the same thing without even trying anything else, you know, because I can tell you how many times that somebody done said, you know, this is the best or whatever like that, and then never even touched that other product and only use that one product. But they're only saying that same narrative because everybody else is saying the same narrative.
And yeah, I understand.
You already know how that cycle goes on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So another question. So what do you think is going to be like the next best revolutionary thing for smartwatches? Do you think it's going to be the battery? Do you think it's going to be something in fitness tracking? Like, where do we go from here? Because I feel like we're in a really good place with tech in general, but specifically like smartwatches and smartphones. I feel like we almost peaked.